Advent is a season that links the past, present, and future. It offers us the opportunity to share in the longing for the coming of the Messiah, to celebrate his birth, and to be alert for his second coming. At Advent, we look back in celebration at the hope fulfilled in Jesus' coming, while at the same time looking forward in hopeful anticipation to the coming of Christ's kingdom when he returns for his people. Christ has come to help us discover hope. He has come to change our world and us forever. May the Lord use this season to draw you and your family closer to him, that you may know his presence and hear his voice.
Today, we light the candle of hope. May this light help us prepare our hearts and minds for the coming of God's Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Just as Simeon and Anna awaited the Messiah, May we receive God's light as we hear the words of the prophet Isaiah. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. Isaiah 9, verse 2.
Let's pray. Faithful God, out of death you bring life. Renew us in hope that we may be alert to the promise of Christ's advent among us. Lord, as we look to the birth of Jesus, grant that the light of your love will help us to become lights in the lives of those around us. Prepare our hearts for the hope that is found only in Jesus. In his precious name we pray. Amen.
Every generation has its "where were you when" question. Those pivotal cultural sort of seismic events that happen that shape our culture and our lives. So, where were you when you first heard about COVID? It's probably the most recent one. Where were you when it first shut something down and impacted your life? Where were you on 9/11? You can still have those conversations, can't you? And you tell the story of where you were and what you saw and how you felt. Where were you when the Berlin Wall fell? Where were you when JFK was shot? That's about as far back as I can go. These are these cultural moments that seem to just have a big impact and shape us. They're big, and there's no going back from them. Our lives are never the same. And unfortunately, especially as we think about even those that I just mentioned, these tend to be very negative events, don't they? Like, these tend to be catastrophes and tragedies, times of crisis. And these events always strike without warning. There's no heads up. There's no, this is going to happen or coming. And it then introduces a new sense of uncertainty, doesn't it? When that thing happens and it feels like the rug has been pulled out from under us. Even as I think about this year, 2024, I mean, it has had its share of crazy times and uncertainties, hasn't it? Like, did anyone have most tornadoes in the history of Ohio on your 2024 bingo card? 73 tornadoes in the state of Ohio this year. The record was, I believe, 62 prior to this. It's been a crazy year for that. Hurricane Helene. I looked at a news report that said it's caused over $250 billion of damage. North Carolina is going to be rebuilding for a long, long, long time from one storm. 2024 has been a very volatile political year, hasn't it? We had an assassination attempt on a presidential candidate who was actually struck by the bullet and survived. We had an incumbent president who withdrew from the race 107 days before Election Day. Like, it's been a crazy year. I feel like sometimes I see the headlines and it seems almost more like a sci-fi novel than it does reality. You go, what is happening? I feel like the advancements in technology are like equal parts intriguing and terrifying. I had an experience this week. One of the one of the cell phones of ours was not working properly, and so we were trying to get some tech support. And so I was working with one of the Reisner children on this project, and we were communicating with the tech support, and all of a sudden I go, I don't think this is a human. And it was not. And we got to a certain point, and the bot said, I think I need to connect you with a real, live, living, breathing human. And I was like, yes, please do that. Like, connect me to another person like me. But it's like equal parts terrifying and exciting, just the crazy advancements happening. I saw in the headlines, SpaceX launched 24 more of its Starlink satellites just this week. AI is everywhere you turn. Again, you don't know if you're communicating with a real person or AI. The number of self-driving cars on the road is only increasing. And if you need any more evidence that 2024 has been a crazy year filled with the unexpected, did you know that Tupperware went bankrupt? Tupperware. I know, I would have thought their finances were airtight. And in all of these uncertainties and craziness, you can't even count on the Buckeyes to beat the Wolverines, it can cause us to lose hope. It can cause us to feel despair. And maybe that's where you are today, that life's uncertainties and the difficulties and the hardships and the challenges have left you cynical, jaded, maybe angry. Or maybe just weary. Maybe just tired and exhausted and disappointed. But I have good news. Because of Christ, we have hope. Because of Jesus Christ and what he has done, and in this season of Christmas, we celebrate his arrival on planet Earth, we have hope. So this is a season where we think back to what God has done. He sent the rescuer. He sent Jesus as a newborn baby. And why? Because Christ has come for us as our Savior. And he comes to help us find hope. He has come to change our world and us forever. That's what we're going to talk about together today. So let me introduce myself. My name is John. I am just thrilled that you're with us this morning. What a joy it is to gather, to be together. My family and I were recently away on a trip out of state. A refreshing time, a wonderful time, and yet I do miss you all. And so I'm glad to be back this morning. I'm praying that through our time together, your heart and home grow stronger in the Lord. So it's Christmas time, the most wonderful time of the year. For the next 4 weeks, we're going to be exploring the good news of the Christmas story. We are going to consider the arrival of Jesus and learn that what it means is that we can discover hope, peace, joy, and love. And as we work through each of these four themes, we have one theme each week. This week is hope. We will share about different Bible characters that help us understand that. For this morning, as we talk about biblical hope and what it means that Christ has come, we are going to talk about two characters named Simeon and Anna. They were referenced in the Advent Litany. So, if you brought your Bible with you, open it up, Luke chapter 2, and we're going to read about these two. Let's go to Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 22. It says, when the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him, that is Jesus, to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Verse 25. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God. saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. And then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword that will pierce your own soul too." And verse 36, we'll read about Anna. There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. What a fascinating tale of the baby Jesus and this encounter with these two elderly folks, Simeon and Anna. They're like sparks of hope, aren't they? These two folks. Like, they're expecting God to come through on what he has promised. They believed it. They believed God. They were waiting on God. And if you think about these two, we know that they're elderly. They've lived long lives. They've seen many things. They've experienced many things. And yet, they remain hopeful. So often, it's not that way. Like, the longer you live, the more you see, the more you experience, the more cynical you become, the more hardened you become. You get grumpy. You lose that sense of wonder and awe and astonishment and even possibility. So I would just challenge us this morning, don't let hardship harden you. Don't let hardship harden you. What God wants to do, and he says this in his word in Ezekiel, is take your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. God wants to soften our hearts, no matter our age. He wants to soften our hearts. He wants us to have this worldview, this characteristic that we see in both Simeon and Anna, this hopefulness and curiosity and astonishment at what God is doing. So I want to be clear on Simeon and Anna. I don't think their hopefulness was based on the fact that they had really lived easy lives. Like, all has been well for them. They've got this childlike wonder. I think they knew hardship. Probably individually they knew hardship, but also as a people, as Jews living during that time in Jerusalem, like, this was a difficult culture to navigate. We know of Anna. She was a longtime widow. And again, in the ancient world, that was essentially a death sentence. She did not have people to care for her. For Jews living in Jerusalem at that time, they were not a free people. They were under the thumb of Roman rule. They had an occupation in their land by foreigners who were in charge of them. It was a harsh, harsh place to live. It was filled with hardship. It was a time of brutality. It was a time of conquest. And yet, these two, as I said, are like this spark of hope because they remain faithful to the Lord and hopeful as they eagerly await. What is God going to do? It's like they're ready. They are ready for God to act. They are ready for him to do great things. Like, did you notice, and you can have your Bible open and look there in Luke chapter 2, they don't really seem surprised by this? Did you notice that, like, these characters in the Christmas story are not ones whose jaw drops open, they fall back in fear and trembling and wonder, like most of the other people in the Christmas story? And we'll talk about many of them this month, are freaking out. Like, it takes some convincing. With these two, You don't see that shock, that awe, that surprise. You see this hopefulness fulfilled. This is the baby. This is the Messiah. This is the long-promised one. Now, granted, many of the others had an angel appear, and from what we know of angels and celestial beings, I think they were very, like, big and otherworldly and intimidating. So maybe the Lord just thought, these elderly people might have a heart attack on the spot if I send an angel. I don't know. He spared them from that. But I'm joking because I think it's more than that. I think God didn't need an angel to announce Christ to Simeon and Anna. I think he had angels ready and waiting. Hey, we're Simeon and Anna, they're going to encounter Christ this morning, the newborn babe. Need me to go and announce it like I did to the others? No, not for these two. They're ready. They're looking. They're eager. They're expecting. They're filled with hope. And that hope made them ready to see Jesus. I don't want you to miss that this morning. Simeon and Anna were filled with hope, and that hope made them ready to see Jesus, made them ready to worship Jesus, made them ready to share Jesus with others. Take note of that. When you're filled with hope, you're ready to see Jesus. You're ready to worship Jesus. You're ready to share Jesus with others. And this was a long-awaited arrival here. Day after day, month after month, year after year, Simeon and Anna waited. And they served the Lord, and they were inspired and fueled by hope. God said it, God's going to do it. Even when they couldn't see it, they waited, they expected, they trusted God. Even when hardship came, they didn't get hardened. Their hearts were still soft. Even as time passed, even as they grew older, they still held on to hope. And then this beautiful, joyous scene when they encounter Christ. They rejoice. They celebrate. And in so doing, they infuse new hope into others that were around them. I would even say, including Mary and Joseph. Here we've got this brand new set of parents still kind of just figuring it out. Like, what does this mean? Not just how to care for a baby. Okay, that's a big enough trial. But what does it mean to be the earthly parents of Jesus? And Simeon and Anna encouraged them. See, because here's what they knew. They knew that because of Christ, we can have hope, even amidst uncertainty. And they lived in very uncertain times. So here's what I want to do with the rest of our time together. I want to talk specifically about hope and what it can do. In fact, I have three things that I want to share this morning. What can hope do? The first is that hope can see beyond the struggle. Hope is really the fuel of faith. It's that whisper, it's that strong sense of, oh, God can do it. It's that resonating words of our Lord Jesus that with God, all things are possible. It's the spark in the darkness that then catches into a flame. It's the flicker of first light in the morning. So I would encourage us as we enter this Christmas season, as we start to look back on this past year with its ups and its downs and its uncertainties, no matter how your year has been, no matter what kinds of problems or struggles you're facing, even right now, even if you're in a season of darkness and difficulty right now, if you're in pain right now, if you're hurting right now, let me encourage you, don't lose hope. Because of Jesus, we have hope. Even in our weariness, even in those times where we are confused and feel overwhelmed, hope is alive. Because God is with us. And nowhere is that more evident than in the arrival of our Lord Jesus Christ, that God is with us, right? That's one of the names for him, isn't it? Emmanuel, God with us. So if we consider Romans chapter 8, it's a well-known passage in Scripture. I think there's a section of it that often gets overlooked that I want to take us to this morning. But in Romans chapter 8, Paul starts off by clarifying, like in verse 1, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And then he explains that our relationship with God is we are God's children, and what it looks like to live by God's Spirit. And then he speaks of this future when God is going to fulfill his work. God is going to restore all of creation. I want to look at verses 24 and 25 in Romans chapter 8. The Apostle Paul says, "For in this hope we are saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently." Let me read part of that again. Hope that is seen is no hope at all. What he's saying is hope can see beyond the struggle. Hope can see beyond. You know when you lose hope? It's when you take your eyes off Jesus. It's when your focus is on the wrong things. Like when you're looking at the darkness and the pain and the struggle and the obstacle and the hurt and the uncertainty and the problem. When you're focused there, you start to lose hope. When you set your mind on and set before your eyes consistently, regularly, repeatedly, the news headlines. Those angry, godless talking heads. All of a sudden, you notice you're pretty cynical. All of a sudden, you notice you're pretty bitter about what's happening. All of a sudden, you're the kind of person who doesn't take responsibility for your own life, but you're always blaming other people. And it's usually kind of an unknown them. Well, they're always doing that. They have an agenda. I would just say to us all this morning, be very cautious about what you're filling your mind with. Consistently, in like a steady diet form. Because when all you're consuming is the dark and doom, that's what starts to well up within you. Now, it's good and fine to be informed about what's happening in our nation. I'm not saying be an ostrich. I think it's good for us to be informed what's happening in our nation, what's happening around the globe. But I'll just say it bluntly. Some of you need to stop with all the doom scrolling. Some of you need to more consistently turn off that talk radio. Tune in to a Christian worship station. Tune in to biblical teaching. Tune in to things that point you again and again and again back to Jesus. One challenge this month is Bible memory. So Kyle led us this morning. I have not worked on that yet, I'll confess. but I will commit to it, and I would encourage you to do the same thing. We are committing one verse each month. So it's very doable. One verse each month. So take time and download the Word of God into your heart and your mind. Start doing it this week. Take a little bit of time. It doesn't just happen automatically. And if you just show up on Sundays and see it on the screen, that you will not have those committed to memory. But take time to put God's Word in your heart and mind, because what you focus on so often influences the hope that you have or don't have. And when you focus on the problem and on the darkness, you start to lose hope. When you focus on Jesus, hope wells up within you. And when you have hope, you can see beyond the struggle. You can see beyond the pain. You can see beyond the present darkness. With eyes of faith, you eagerly expect what God has in store. So you're rooted in Christ. You're grounded in his word. And this is the second thing that hope can do. Hope can anchor your soul. So it helps us see beyond our struggles, and it anchors our souls. Now, an anchor on a ship allows it, when the anchor is dropped, to stay where it needs to stay. So no matter where the wind comes from, no matter which direction the waves pull, the ship stays where it needs to stay because it's anchored. And oh, don't miss this. When a ship is anchored, it still gets battered by the storm. Like the waves still crash, the wind still comes, but when the storm passes, the ship remains unmoved. And this is a picture of your life anchored in Christ. Not immune from storms, but when the storm passes, you remain steadfast because you are secure in Christ. So you will have drama, you will have difficulty, you will have that inevitable damage that life causes, but you will not be blown off course. You are anchored, you are firm, you are secure because your hope is in Christ. Hebrews 6 says this, right? And this isn't an idea that I made up. It comes from the Bible. Hebrews 6, 18 and 19. We who take hold of the hope set before us are greatly encouraged. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. That's what Christ does. And when Christ came, he gave for us a picture of God the Heavenly Father. Christ's coming basically put a face on God. He came to earth wrapped in human form. He was fully God and fully human. This is the good news of God's story of redemption, God's work in the universe, that the God of heaven took up residence on a puny little planet Earth because of the people there who stood in need of salvation. He sent Jesus to die. That was his mission, was to die a gruesome death on the cross. Why? So that we could be forgiven of all of our wrongs. But he didn't stay dead. By the power of God, on the third day, he was raised to life. He lives forevermore. And Jesus left planet Earth to go back to heaven, gave us his Holy Spirit in the meantime, and said, but I'm coming back. And so we live in this time where Jesus has visited, he has given us his Holy Spirit, and we're eagerly awaiting his next return. And so my encouragement this morning is, will we be like Simeon and Anna, who, though we walk through hardship, though we grow older with each passing year, don't lose hope? What good news. Hope is an anchor for our souls. So I encourage us to, again today, put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is where we are secure. That is where we are held. It's not based on our goodness or our righteousness. It's not based on our church attendance or our generosity or the way we serve others. We do those things, but we do them in grateful response to what God has done for us. He gives us this offer of salvation, the hope of eternity spent with him, and it is a free gift, and it comes by faith. Will we believe that Jesus is the promised Messiah, the Son of God, and put our trust in him? And if so, we have hope, and that hope is an anchor for our souls. So Jesus is coming back, and until he does, we have hope, even in our uncertainties. Maybe it's been 2,000 years, but we haven't lost hope, right? Still, we press on, because hope is a powerful thing.
Monica, why do you think we have a winner?
What do you mean?
I mean, why do we have a winner? I mean, if we just wanted to intimidate the district, why not round up 24 in the next few months?
Is stronger than fear. This evil ruler knew that. He wanted them to have a little bit of hope, but he knew how dangerous a lot of hope is. Simeon and Anna were people overflowing with hope, a dangerous amount of hope. Hope despite the years that have passed, hope despite their challenges and struggles, hope despite Roman oppression. In years of disappointment, they kept looking for Jesus, and their souls were anchored in that hope. So I want you to hear this morning that God sees your circumstances. He knows exactly what you're facing. He can see your heart. He can see your attitude. And he wants to take your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. So would you be willing to acknowledge today? Even though sometimes I keep it all together on the outside, God knows my heart. God knows those places where I'm bitter, where I'm angry, where I'm cynical, where I'm judgmental. God wants you to have hope. But with a hard heart, with a focus on the challenge and the difficulty, you won't have hope. So we live in an uncertain world. We've talked about that. You don't know when the next tornado is going to hit Ohio. You don't know when you're going to get that phone call about your loved one or that diagnosis or that relationship that's falling apart or that broken heart. We live in a world that's filled with confusion and uncertainty. But God sees you and he wants to fill you with hope. He cares for you. He is with you. And our final point about what hope can do this morning is that hope inspires us to carry on. It gives us strength to keep going, to not quit, to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, to keep worshiping, to keep serving, to keep celebrating. Even when your heart is heavy, we choose to worship and celebrate, to stay grateful. And of course, this is the week of Thanksgiving, where we've just hopefully taken time to say, what is it that we're thankful for? Thanksgiving is a great holiday. My encouragement is, I think we should be grateful 365 days a year, not just one. We should be grateful. We should keep seeking the Lord, as Hosea 6:3 tells us to do. Let us press on to know the Lord. And the Apostle Paul describes this sort of cycle of hope in Romans chapter 5. I want to share this with us. Verses 2 through 5. He says, and this is because of Jesus, we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. He says, there's actually a purpose to some of that pain and suffering. So don't let hardship harden you. Let these trials, this suffering, give you hope. He says, hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who he has given to us. And so we see here, hope emboldens us. Hope enlivens us and inspires us. It tells us, keep going, don't stop. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't lose heart. Don't lose faith. Don't keep seeking the Lord. Keep seeking the Lord. Don't stop. Press on in faith. Like, even when you can't see it. Hope that is seen is no hope at all. And we serve an invisible God. And we live in an invisible kingdom. But we have hope that is also invisible. But God sees. God knows. And there's one final thing that I really want to be clear on this morning as we kind of wrap up this morning. And I want you to hear this. I want you to hear this very clearly. In fact, if you don't hear anything else I say this morning, I want you to hear this. Our hope is in the Lord. Because we can talk about hoping in a lot of things. And this morning I've used the word like over and over and over. I don't want us to be confused about like just hope, just wish, just cross those fingers, like hope you have a good Christmas, hope I get all the things on my Christmas wish list. Like, I want to be really clear this morning. Our hope is in the Lord. It's not in anything else. We're not just hoping for that job. We're not just hoping for the economy to turn around. Our hope is not in people. Our hope is not in any leader. any political party, any government, any nation. Our hope is in the Lord. It is rooted in Christ. It is rooted in the certainty that the Lord will do what he says he will do. And again, in the arrival of Jesus born as a baby, we see that very clearly. The promised one. After hundreds of years of silence, God has now spoken again, and he is bringing forth his master plan of salvation to redeem the whole world. Psalm 39, verse 7 says this, "But now, Lord, what do I look for? My hope is in you." Our hope is in the one who created us. Our hope is in the one who gave his life for us. Our hope is in the one who gives us strength, who gives us courage to face the storms of life, knowing that we won't capsize, but we are anchored because of Christ. Because we can see with hope beyond the struggle. We can be anchored in Christ, and through him, we will carry on. Let's pray together. Oh Lord, our God, how grateful we are for your word. For these stories we see, like in Luke chapter 2, of Simeon and Anna, growing older and yet not growing weary. Going through hardship and not being hardened. And so, Lord, would you help us to be like them? Would you give us hope? And Lord, I'm not diminishing this morning the hurt and the struggle and the uncertainty in our lives and in our world. Oh God, we need you. And people here in our nation need you, and people across the globe need you. But Lord, thank you that you have given us an anchor for our souls in our Lord Jesus Christ, that we are a hopeful people, that we don't focus on the issues and the struggles and the darkness, but we focus on the light. And as we do so, Lord, you illuminate us and cause us to be radiant and shine like stars in the universe, even amidst a crooked and depraved generation. So, Lord, I pray that you would seal these things in our hearts and minds. I pray that you would draw us with a hunger and a thirst for righteousness and for your word. Not that we are perfect, Lord, but because you are perfect. And as we follow you, Lord, you mold us and shape us to become even more like Jesus. And so we're thankful today for the hope that we have in Christ, even amidst the uncertainty. Lord, you are good. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for what you are still yet to do, how we eagerly await the sure return of Jesus for his bride, for his people. Lord, help us to remain steadfast and press on until you return. And in this season of Christmas, Lord, we thank you and celebrate that you help us to discover hope because of Christ. We pray it all in his name. Amen.